Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines real quick. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. I have a cough, and it's a tickling that starts. It just seems like comes up my throat, and I start coughing, and I almost lose my breath. But it starts with just a tickle in my throat, and it's a terrible cough.
How long have you had it?
About 3 weeks.
Well, that's 3 weeks too long, isn't it?
It is.
You know what my grandfather would have done to take care of that?
Probably took whiskey.
Yeah, you're exactly right. What he would do is he would take a shot of whiskey, and I really don't know how much raw honey he would add to the mixture, but he also added lemon juice. And the reason why I'm kind of saying this, it might have been about a month ago that there was an article. And in this research study, they compared raw honey against cough remedies to see which one was the best at fixing a cough. Guess which one won?
Raw honey.
You're absolutely correct. And so, do you have anything that you're coughing up that's discolored, like yellow, green, white?
No.
Okay, so
no.
There's no gunk of any time that's coming up, right?
No. But it's all just mucus, just clear mucus.
But the deal is the mucus is probably just too thick, right?
It is.
Well, that's one thing that you can do is you can try that remedy, and what it will do is it'll act like a solvent to help dissolve it and break it down so you can get rid of it. The other remedy that you might could try, it's an old-fashioned one also. It's just apple cider vinegar. And the remedy that most people choose, instead of trying to gargle with straight apple cider vinegar, they'll just do half water and half apple cider vinegar, and they'll gargle several times a day to see if it will dissolve it and make it go away where it can start to drain.
Okay.
Another thing that you could do, and I'm trying to think, what do these things cost? Maybe it's $1.35, but if you go to the health food store, they sell what are called zinc lozenges. And so it would not hurt you to look for zinc lozenges that have a specific herb called slippery elm. And yes, they may have both echinacea and elderberry, but if you suck on zinc lozenges that have slippery elm, see if that doesn't just drastically help your condition.
All right.
So I'm not condoning moonshine or whiskey, but... Okay, what else can I help you with?
I believe that's it. Thank you much.
Okay, you're welcome. I hope you have a great day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for your phone call. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. That gets you right into line number one. Yesterday evening, I don't know, maybe 7:15, 7:20, I was searching for information. Because, you know, it's good to have questions, and it's good to be curious. And so I came across this article concerning what's called intermittent fasting. And this one had a different take on it. And so here was a take. Nowhere in the article did they look at the amount of weight loss that a person, would realize from the process of intermittent fasting. But in this particular study, I want to say they took 30 men. And these 30 men, they told them specifically that you can eat anything you want, as much as you want, as long as it's in this 8-hour window. And so you get where I'm coming from. So that means that 16 hours a day, they actually fasted. And 8 hours a day, they ate whatever they wanted. So you get where I'm coming from? You eat anything and everything as long as it's in the 8-hour window. But after the 8-hour window is over, then you cease to eat. Now, what they did was, they did this for 3 months. And they said that 14.3% of the people just fell out of the program. They wouldn't continue it. They decided they were going to, eat outside the 8 hours. But it was pretty good compliance. That's like If I just round it off, that's about 86% compliance, which is good. So at the end of the study, here's the two metrics that they measured, and they saw great improvement. One, they looked at mental clarity. They asked the people through very detailed questionnaires, how clear is your mind? Do you like your thought process? Do you like the way that you're thinking? And lo and behold, compared to the placebo group that did not eat only in the 8-hour window, oh man, it was amazing the results on how clear the mind was. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pose the question to you. Do you feel like that your mind is real clear? Do you feel like you can keep your focus and keep your mind on track? Or is it like wandering all the time? Or is your mind racing out of control and you just kind of wish at nighttime when you lay your head on your pillow, oh, how I wish I could turn my brain off from processing and thinking so much. Why does my brain race 99 miles an hour the moment that I lay down to go to sleep? Well, you know that's unproductive. When you wake up totally exhausted because your mind's been racing all night, that's not good. No. If anything, that creates so much stress on the body. So, one of the results was a mental clarity. Okay, are you with me on that? The other one, they put it in the category of emotional well-being. If I asked you if you like being feeling really good emotionally, what would you say? Well, I know the answer to that. Nobody wants to choose to be down and blue and just feel yucky on the inside, like I don't like what's going on. Haven't you ever been like on a line of negative thinking and you just can't get your mind off of it? Well, in this group of people, or specifically men that did this intermittent fasting, they really liked their emotional well-being at the end of 3 months. So let me just kind of pose that to you as an idea. So fasting has got to be one of the most interesting topics of all time, in that it doesn't cost anything. Yeah, it's a discipline issue, because you have to convince yourself, you're going to say, okay, I am only going to eat in this window. That's one form of fasting. Another form of fasting would be where you just, for a period of time, let us just say 36 hours, I will not eat any food at all. And what you do is you have the liberty to drink all the water that you want. If you want to put a bit of salt in there for minerals, that's fine. If you love the idea of herbal tea, I have not found that herbal tea generally presents any challenges or problems. It tends to aid. So you could say that green tea and white tea and hibiscus tea, dandelion tea, blueberry tea, pomegranate tea, all those are just very, very good. That's the same as drinking water. I mean, essentially. So if you like the flavor of herbal teas, that may be one way that you can get through that. And so the idea, though, of just making your body uncomfortable and having to do without, that is really a hard one for a lot of people. Because in the world that we're living in, people don't do without what they want. They just don't. Do you ever go to the grocery store and just people watch and watch what they put in their buggies? It looks to me like there is a certain percentage of people that have never done without. They don't know what that's like to just spend time maybe praying or reading or studying or asking God for help instead of just eating food nonstop. Anyway, but to me that was so interesting that in this study, eating only in an 8-hour window produced much greater mental clarity. Hey, folks, how do you want to say this? Do you want to say dementia is coming? Do you want to say that Alzheimer's is part of aging? Do you want to say that there's a cognitive decline? Well, look around. How many people do you know of that as they age, they lose their ability to process and to think clearly and to function on a level that's in their best interest? You know, as long as people can make decisions and they can make choices that are based on, hey, this is good for me, I'm going to do this. Well, that's a lot better than somebody making a poor decision, which Do you ever just catch yourself thinking, well, that's a poor decision? Or I'm watching the person do this very thing in front of me, and that's not what's in their best interest. It's almost like they're being controlled by a parasite in the brain that's calling the shots. Anyway, let me switch from that topic right there. This is an article that I came across, and I do find this very interesting. And obviously, the things that I find interesting, yes, I'm very biased. Everybody knows that already. I'm biased toward anything that would be natural, safe, has a therapeutic benefit, meaning it improves how your body functions. And so the idea of herbal medicine, I like it. The idea of a food that blesses your body, I like that too. What about fasting? Oh my goodness, what a great technique. What about exercise? Oh my goodness, yes, it's been proven. What about bringing every thought unto submission? Most excellent. Have you ever heard of a substance called chlorella before? I think my very first experience with chlorella was back in the early 1990s. And if you've ever held a bag of chlorella, I think this brand was Sun Chlorella. It didn't come in a bottle. It came in these Mylar bags. You know, they look like a golden tinfoil. And so as I began to take this, I thought, what is this stuff? Because when you touch these chlorella tablets, it's called broken cell wall chlorella. I think the name is called chlorella vulgaris. I know that sounds like the word vulgar, but just kind of take it with a grain of salt. But as you touch these chlorella tablets with your fingers to, you know, maybe to swallow them as you take them, it leaves like almost a black green color on your fingertips. And chlorella is dark. Makes you wonder what's in it. Yeah, there's chlorophyll. Well, let me read this to you right here. And this is just the abstract, and I'll read parts of the study to you. A daily supplement containing 1,800 milligrams of chlorella, they are showing that it speeds up recovery from depression. And when I say depression, I'm not talking about any depression. This comes published in the 2015, that was what, 8 years ago, Complementary Therapies and Medicine. So it's not a brand new study. It comes from 2015, but in a roundabout way, that was just like yesterday. The researchers gave the supplement called chlorella to people that had severe depression. And the other thing that intrigued me about this was they were all taking antidepressants in a way to try to manage the severe depression. I mean, you know as well as I do, there are times and places for using antidepressant medication because the circumstances call for it. So these people that took the chlorella with severe depression, they were already taking antidepressants. Okay, here's the study. The researchers gave 50 people suffering from severe depression 1,800 milligrams of chlorella daily, in addition to the medication they were already on. Now, it doesn't say if they took both at the same time, so I don't know the answer. I look for that. Sometimes I think of if you take a prescription drug, you take it separately from a nutritional supplement so they don't compete for absorption, but that's just an idea. They used a product that was manufactured by the German company called Algomed, and they said specifically that Algomed, this company that made the chlorella product, they did not finance the study. So a similar group of people that had severe depression, about 50, they took the same size supplement, but it was just a placebo. It was a sugar pill. There was no chlorella in it. So you get where I'm coming from here? One group has taken the actual chlorella, which is actually a type of algae that grows freely in the Pacific Ocean, as one example. And the other one took a placebo, which is just a sugar pill. It had nothing of value, and that's why they use sugar, because there's nothing in the sugar that's of nutritional value or therapeutic value, except maybe it helps the medicine go down. So before starting the experiment, and at the end of the 6 weeks that the experiment lasted, The participants completed the Hospital Anxiety and Depression Scale questionnaire. It's just a standardized list of questions that psychiatrists are going to use in order for them to kind of, you know, detect anxiety and depression, and they can kind of rate it according to the questionnaire. Now, here's the part that I can't do. I'm looking at the graphs right in front of me, and I took my yellow highlighter, and I kind of like marked the graph on the scale where they show the depression anxiety compared against the placebo and against the chlorella. Of course, can I just tell you this, and you just take my word for it, or you can look up the article yourself. But it showed those that took the chlorella, oh my goodness, much significant positive effects, much improvement. And of course, what you do is it kind of begs the question, well, why is chlorella working? So, and I haven't read this before, but I want to read this to you. I know it sounds kind of scientific, but just kind of hear me out on this. I like it when they come up with an explanation on how things work. And so I think it's good that you and I would be really curious. And so what we're going to discover when it comes to the chlorella, that just maybe the reason why it works so well is because it improves energy production. Now, I know you've heard me say this over and over again, but energy is what fuels everything in the body. Your body is amazingly designed by God to work right, but it has a requirement, and that is we want energy. That's one of the reasons why it is so extremely important what you eat and what you put in your body, because there's such a thing as clean fuel, and there's such a thing as maybe dirty fuel that has empty calories. You tell me, what is going to make you feel amazingly better? Is it going to be fresh caught tuna with coleslaw and a baked potato? Or is it going to be, Hot Pockets? Anyway, you already know the answer to that. One of those is going to be so much more nutrient dense. It's going to be giving your body the very things it needs. And so I don't think this has to be like a hard concept to understand. When you give your body the very thing that it's wanting, that it needs, or maybe another way of saying it is, if your body is lacking an element, well, guess what happens when you give your body the very thing that you're lacking? All of a sudden, it can function properly. That's the whole idea behind amino acids and fatty acids and good carbohydrates and vitamins and minerals and protein and, you know, all that good stuff. You got to have it. And so even if just one element is missing from the body, it don't work so hot. Things don't go well. So here's the mechanism they came up with when it came to giving people with very severe depression chlorella. And I'm just reading what the researchers wrote here. I know this sounds technical, but just kind of humor me here. And I quote, malfunctioning of the mitochondrial electron transport chain. Let me stop right there for a second. You're probably asking yourself the question, mitochondria, what's that? I haven't heard of the mitochondria. Well, mitochondria are the little factories or the engines of your cells. Oh, my goodness. As a general rule, the more mitochondria that you have, the better things go for you as far as energy production. You tell me, do you want to be totally exhausted laying on the couch all day long with no motivation to get up? And the deal is, you just feel so bad. Well, what would happen if you had all the energy that you wanted? Well, there's no way on God's green earth you're going to sit on the couch. That's what happens when people feel good. They get up and they start doing stuff. You know what? We're born to do things. We're not born just to sit on the couch all day long. Now, you realize I am not trying to make fun of someone that's sick. No, 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 no. I'm just trying to state the case here that you gotta have energy to make things work. And so they say that malfunctioning of the mitochondrial electron transport chain is specifically implicated in the pathogenesis of a range of neuropsychiatric disorders. See there? They're saying they have figured out through the scientific method that these people, their mitochondria, don't produce the energy that they need, so thus they're suffering. And what are those disorders? Well, here they are. Depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. Okay. Would those qualify as neuropsychiatric disorders? Yeah. And so what are they saying the solution is? Well, here it is. A lower ATP production has been reported in biopsied muscles from depressed individuals with somatic complaints. Well, what are they saying? The people that have severe depression don't produce energy. So here's what I'm floating your direction right here. What's one of the ways that they remedy that? No, and I get it that some people, this is a season of their life, because they've had horrific circumstances, or they've had tremendous loss, or maybe their trials and their tribulations have been so great they're just crushed under the weight of what their life is like, or maybe they're very displeased because of failed relationships, or maybe a job loss, or a tremendous financial loss, or loss of a loved one. I mean, it's just any number of things. But you realize how exhausting and draining it can be sometimes, just living life. Well, you got to have energy to get through all those things. And so they're showing that there's a very high prevalence of depression, and that's been demonstrated with patients that have mitochondrial disorders. The mitochondria is not producing energy. So enter the topic of Chlorella vulgaris, that algae that comes from the ocean. Well, lo and behold, guess what chlorella has in it? It's got all these unique components. Maybe one of them is called chlorophyll. But it has other things in there too, specific amino acids and proteins and nutrients and minerals. And guess what they do? They specifically help aid in the energy production. They feed and nourish the mitochondria, the energy production in the cells. Now, I'm trying to think of where I read this. Okay. Oh, yeah, here it is right here. Okay. I'm so sorry. Sometimes I'll skip over things. But they're showing that when you start taking chlorella, and you just so happens you're suffering from severe depression, that all of a sudden your body starts growing more mitochondria. Well, I'm telling you, that's your benefit. You win. The more mitochondria that you have in good working order, the faster your body is able to heal and repair. And so I know I'm making it sound simple about energy production, but you realize you got to have energy in order for the body to work right. It's just the way it is. It's just highly doubtful that a person really ever gets well if they're completely exhausted. If there is nothing left in the gas tank, how are you going to drive from Jacksonville to Tyler with just a tenth of an ounce of gasoline? I don't know, maybe you could back out of the driveway, or maybe you can put the car in drive, but it's not going to take long to burn through an ounce of gas, is it? Okay. So they're showing also that the chlorella was very beneficial in people that had PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder. And there's a lot of ways you can get that. There really is. I mean, I had a woman explain to me yesterday, and she did so in tears. I mean, I don't purposely try to make people cry, but something kind of triggered her where she remembered that maybe one of the very best friends she's ever had in her life died several years ago, and she just really teared up. And that's not bad. That's all good. But she was just saying how desperately, what a great friend she was, and how she loved her like a mother. Well, I thought that was just a beautiful thing. And then I had another, just the sweetest woman of all time, tear up and begin to cry also, just describing her childhood and how traumatic it was. Now, you know what I'm not trying to say that chlorella is a solution. No, but what I'm saying is, why don't we help the body heal itself? And so if there was a drug that you could take that would completely take away, that would produce tremendous amounts of energy in a very healthy way, well, maybe I'd be for that if I could read the studies on it. But you know as well as I do, the drugs they use for energy, that's called crystal meth or methamphetamines. You talk about a way to burn the brain out over time by taking speed. It's just horrible what it does to people. I had a friend of mine in the office yesterday evening. We were looking out the window, and we remarked that this guy was just acting so bizarre in all his movements and, you know, the way his eyes were darting, and he was kind of twerking, shaking, moving, whatever it is. I mean, it's just got to be, it's abnormal. That's not because he's taking chlorella. That's probably because the guy's on speed. But it's just the condition of the world that we're in. I'm not trying to be negative this morning. But I'd rather focus on what's the most positive thing that you can do to do things that are in your best interest. Isn't that one of the reasons why you listen to this program, is so I can tell you things that maybe you haven't heard before? Because, you know, I'm kind of like a nerd on this stuff. I like reading about it. It really makes me happy. I don't have any hard feelings of reading about chlorella. I kind of like it. It's interesting. Because, you know, what you're doing is you're trying to find, what has God made here on the planet for us that's available that we can use to help ourselves? And I kind of think you're just like I am. You are. You like helping people. You like to encourage people and lift them up. And you know the way that men are wired. Men are wired to kind of solve problems and to fix things. So I think this is really a good fit for me, because I like solving the mystery and trying to figure out what's it going to take to help a person get better. How do they restore their health? And so that's where it comes back to. There are laws of the universe and rules of nature that we have to follow. So basically, the topic on chlorella, why don't you help your brain function better? Why don't you help your body function better by giving it the very thing that improves energy production? Anyway, I'm probably going overboard on that topic, but it's just so fascinating how you could take a group of people that are hospitalized because the depression is so severe. Now, I don't know if you've encountered that before, but you have come to terms with, there is a hospital system just south of Jacksonville. It's called Rusk State Hospital. And I've talked to many people that have been workers there. And yeah, those people, it's not, everything's not working right. Okay? So I like the idea of what can we do to help a person get better. Does that make sense? Okay, if you want to join me on the radio, the phone line is right, it's open. If you want to ask me a question, now is your opportunity to do so. You can give me a call right now. 903-586-5257. All right, if nobody wants to call, we're going to go on to the next topic. And so here we go. So this is going to be painfully obvious also. You could be sitting in church service tomorrow if you go to church. I hope you do. And at the end of church service, or maybe at the beginning, whatever the format is, there's probably going to be announcements that are made. And during the course of announcements, you know that they're going to tell you people that are suffering with a health problem. Well, somebody's trying to call. Let's go to the phone lines instead. That's most important. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello. Dr. Morgan.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thanks for your call.
Yes. I'm calling. I'm having some pain, like in my, hip joint.
Do you mean the ball and socket joint where your femur joins the pelvis? Okay.
Yes, right in that area. And I've been, went to my chiropractor and it helped a little bit, but it's still very tender there. And
well, what did the chiropractor say the problem was specifically?
Did not get an explanation. We just gave me a treatment and,
did the treatment help significantly?
No.
Okay. So, and it may be just very simple that it didn't address what the problem is.
Okay.
Now, I realize this is probably not the answer you want, but here's what I'm going to do. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you have access to the internet? Do you have a computer?
Yes.
Okay. There's a website called YouTube.
Uh-huh.
You've probably heard of that, right?
Yes.
There's a young man that I like very, very much. His name is David.
Okay.
And I think his channel on YouTube is called Movement by David.
Okay.
the kid can't be more than 25 years old. And so, and he, but he's really good. And one of the reasons why I like his videos on, for example, hip joint pain, is he's just very straight and to the point. Now, this is my opinion, so you can take it with a grain of salt. I really think the kid is super talented, and I think he has a really good understanding of how the muscular system of the body works. And so, naturally, I really respect that. Just because he's not 58 years old doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's doing. So I'm just like you are. I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So he's young, but what I want you to do is just type in hip pain, and if you will, he's going to get right to it. He's going to show you how to sit on the floor or maybe in a chair and how to start the process of trying to stretch your hips.
All right.
Now, stretching, number one, it's going to reveal any problems you have. So if you bend or move your leg in a certain position and you go, ouch, that hurts badly, I don't like that. Well, lo and behold, guess what we've just done? We've maybe uncovered that there's a problem. And so it's the job of your muscles to act like shock absorbers and hold your hip in alignment. And so if you've got hip pain, oh my goodness, I've got to go all in that most likely you have a muscle that's either too tight or it's not working right.
Oh, okay.
So I think you'll figure it out. So if you'd be willing to maybe just sit on the floor, and it could be, you could fold a towel to make it comfortable on your bottom or your legs, or if you have like a rug that you can sit on or a mat. But if you'll start doing this exercise program, stretching, just maybe about 5 to 6 minutes a day, tell me if your hip starts to get a lot better.
Okay, yeah. He did give me, suggest that I stand and raise my leg from, you know, out and back and out and back. And I've been doing
You mean
that.
Like flexing your hip, bending your knee to your chest?
No, it was out sideways.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Does that hurt to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, but
well, the other thing I'm gonna try to talk you into is just rubbing plain castor oil over the area of pain.
Say that so many times.
I know. Do I sound like a broken record every time I get on the radio?
No, but it's good that you remind us. Right?
Yeah. There you go. That's it right there. Yeah. That's all I'm doing is just gently reminding you. Or if somebody's never heard it before, let me say it again.
Yeah.
Rub some castor oil on it.
How long has it been around, you know, forever?
I really think that was Adam's first plant that he tended was the castor bean tree.
Yeah.
Hey, did I ever tell you that when I was a boy, my mom and dad would plant castor bean. They looked like a bush, or they got big leaves. But they'd always plant them at the end of the rows, and I didn't catch on fast because, you know what I was there for? To pull weeds in the garden, so I probably didn't think about those intelligent things when I was like 13. But I remember later saying, why did y'all plant castor beans? And they said, because it keeps moles and gophers out of the garden. I thought, oh, well, maybe they got some knowledge I need to know something about.
Yeah. Oh, I've never heard that either. So,
but when you rub castor oil over the skin over the hip or wherever you're hurting or all over your leg, what you're doing is it's been shown in study after study to greatly improve blood flow and circulation, specifically your lymphatic circulation. But to me, man, that's a great advantage to you.
Yeah, of course.
Just like I had a man come see me yesterday, and he was telling me on the phone before he came in that he had this huge painful swelling under his jaw, and I said, rub some castor oil on it. And I asked him when he came in, he said, I want you to look at this. And so I felt it. I said, what happened? He said, it shrunk right away. I said, are you still doing it? He said, oh, no, I just did it once.
Oh.
And which, what I'm going to tell you. Well, it was enough to get him started, but I still think that he needs to put a little bit more on it to help. You know, you want the body to complete the process on healing.
Right.
You don't want to just do it 60%. That's it. Yeah, you don't want it to come back with a vengeance.
Yeah, yes. I have one more question.
Of course, yes.
I was listening, and you mentioned chlorella.
Chlorella, yes.
How do you spell that?
Okay, well, my apologies for not spelling that, but here goes.
Okay.
C-H-L-O-R-E-L-L-A, chlorella.
Okay. Okay, because I have a son who is bipolar.
There you go.
And we have had been through hospitals, and of course he's on lithium right now.
Oh yeah.
And so this is something I'm going to suggest that maybe he try.
He's got absolutely nothing to lose.
Yes, yes. And as a matter of fact, when you mentioned Rusk, he had a spell.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there for a while. He's in. You know, he's okay right now, but
yeah, but poor guy. I hate that for him.
Yes, yes. So anyway, so thanks for that spelling, and thanks for all.
Well, you made my day. Thank you very much.
And you helped numerous people.
Well, thanks. Well, where do you live, by the way?
I live out in on Lake Palestine.
Really? I was in a boat by your house the other night. Did you see me?
Oh, no, I didn't. Were you fishing?
Yes, ma'am. It was about 11 o'clock. We were bow fishing.
Oh my!
And the water was so murky and cloudy, and it's like there's a thick layer of pollen on top of it. Did you do that, by the way?
No.
Were you out there shaking
To go away.
We could literally see where there were hundreds and hundreds of carp up in the grass and where the reeds were.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how deep the water was. I'm gonna say 3 to 4 foot deep. But you could tell where the carp were, like, brushing up against the grass, because you could see the grass just wiggling and moving. The lake was calm.
Uh-huh.
It was totally calm. I did try to shoot a snake, which everybody else wasn't happy about that, because I have been known to do that before, where I shot a water moccasin one time, and then that's when the real trouble began, trying to get it off the arrow. But you talk about beautiful. It's just, it's so wonderful being out in nature.
Oh, I'm sure.
The moon was out. The moon was like a kind of this bloody orange-looking thing on the horizon, which was like magnificent.
Yeah, well, good for you. Enjoying nature.
So if you need my archery bow fishing skills to feed you, you would have probably gone hungry this week.
Well, better luck next time.
That's right. You never give up. You keep trying again, right?
Okay, well,
thank
you.
Yes, ma'am. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line once again open, 903-586-5257. I mean, come on now. That's like so simple. It's just chlorella. It's very inexpensive. It's just very interesting how it helps bipolar disorder. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I would like you to suggest some supplements or vitamins that my son, who has elevated blood pressure, can take. He is 50 years old, and he went to the doctor, and they want to put him on, I don't know what drug, blood pressure medication.
Oh, yeah, and exactly.
So could you give me some...
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know that I'm going to do it in order, but let me just tell you what I've seen that works, okay?
Okay.
There is a nutritional remedy that's called IP6. That's just short for inositol hexaphosphate. But if you write down a capital I, capital P, and then the numeral 6, that'll get you there.
Okay.
And what the substance, well, let me tell you how it's made. It's just an extract from rice bran. I didn't say raisin bran, but it's rice bran. And so it's almost like a B vitamin compound that when you consume it, the end result is the lining of your arteries becomes more supple, more spry, more flexible and bendable, which is what you want, because high blood pressure, that's a problem with your arteries becoming too stiff. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Now, I have an article here in front of me. I'm not going to read it. But it talks about a certain amount of cacao, which is the polyphenol-rich substance is in like a dark chocolate bar.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That has been shown to help lower blood pressure. So you've got IP6. It's called cacao. That's spelled C-A-C-A-O.
Right.
You could say chocolate, and I wouldn't argue with you. The other one that, and there's two or three more, but let me give you ideas. So hopefully we can hit on something that would be very good for your son. Okay. Because let me see, what was I reading the other day about? There was a new article and a study on a blood pressure medication. I can't remember it. I'm so sorry. But they were linking it to the development of Alzheimer's and dementia. And I thought, well, that's not a good trade-off.
No,
you know, you
not.
Take a blood pressure pill, and then all of a sudden you got cognitive decline. Anyway, enough of that. But do you know what a pomegranate fruit looks like?
Yes, sir, I do.
One of the things that really intrigues me about the Old Testament, the Bible, is you see things and you're going, well, why is that? What's the purpose of it? Well, supposedly, there are exactly 617 seeds found in a mature pomegranate plant.
I heard you explain it before.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I don't have to go through it again. But pomegranate has got one of the richest types of, I'm going to call it a flavonoid or a polyphenol compound. It's just an element that's naturally found in pomegranate that is so good at cleaning your arteries and helping to remove debris. So that's probably the equation. There's too much gunky debris in your son's arteries, and it's causing them to be stiff, and it begins to oxidize, and right. So blood flow's not so good. But pomegranate is one of the ways that you can turn that around and remedy that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. What about the pomegranate powder?
I like it.
Okay.
And can I tell you the main reason I like it? Because I think with the, and all they're doing is just dehydrating the pomegranate juice and getting the water out of it. So powder, to me, gives a person a way to very consistently do something without all the sugar. And so if you made a cup of green tea, or like I have a habit every day of just making myself green tea, and also my other favorite that I've stuck with for years is called hibiscus tea. I think the last time that I went to the Carter Blood Care and gave blood, I think my blood pressure was like 111 over 69, which I don't think I'm a zombie where I'm passed out. But but I think that's a pretty good reading. But pomegranate is so easy to stir into hibiscus tea. And so what happens is, if you're consistent, I mean, you don't just take IP6 one day and say, well, why is my blood pressure not down? It doesn't work that way. It's not a powerful drug that just shuts systems down. So pomegranate powder, it could be stirred so easily into water.
Yeah.
You can put it in a cup of water and stir it and drink it down. It doesn't taste bad at all. But if you consistently get the compounds or the flavanols that are in the pomegranate, guess what happens? Your body begins to heal. Now, the other one that I'm in love with, when I say love, I just mean I like the results. I'm not having an affair with hawthorn. But hawthorn is absolutely one of the best herbs of all time that really, really helps. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say this a different way. When they look at studies on people that have high blood pressure, would your guess be that they have less blood flow or greater blood flow because of the blood pressure? They have less.
Okay.
And what that means is they don't have, and so I know this is like a different concept, but I'm trying to make a point here. When blood moves through the body real slow because it's thick and it's dirty and sluggish, that's not in anyone's best interest.
Right.
What you want is you want blood that moves at a high rate of speed and a high velocity. And so the article that I have in front of me about chocolate or cacao, that's what they demonstrate, that all of a sudden with chocolate, just a little bit, you get much greater blood flow, and you get more red blood cells, and they move faster. And I'm just kind of making a mental note, and I'm going, you know what? We could probably build a case that there's all these things that God has made in nature that are just so good for us if we only knew what to do. So between hawthorn and pomegranate and IP6, I'd say magnesium could be a game changer. There's a lot of ways to do this.
Okay. Well, his cholesterol was elevated too, so will that help that?
Yeah, and that means if his cholesterol always goes up when you're oxidizing, that means he's resting. Okay. If he's a man, he should be given blood every 2 months.
Okay.
You don't have to take him to Carter Blood Care. You can just do it yourself out in the backyard.
Oh, well.
No, I'm joking. That's a joke. Well, if you see a barber shop that has the red and white swirl or stripes, that means they do bloodletting there.
Okay.
I think I've seen Floyd on the Andy Griffith Show do that to Barney. No, I'm joking. I am. But that's where you used to go to have that technique called bloodletting. Oh, which I'm not trying to make fun of it, really, but there may have been some benefit. Just like, you know what they've even done today? They still use leeches to help people that have blood problems.
Wow.
They're not using 2 million leeches covering your body that are going to suck you dry. That wouldn't be good.
Okay. Well,
so those are things he's looking at, but the most harmful thing of all time is going to be the more refined sugar that you consume. You're just asking for your blood pressure to go up, because when you eat sugar, your insulin levels go up, and that causes your arteries to become stiff. It's not a good trade-off.
Okay.
So if your son needs something sweet, it's called a strawberry or a blueberry or a pomegranate, you know, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that he would be willing to eat a fruit salad instead of a bowl of ice cream?
He sure would, Dr. Morgan. He eats pretty healthy, and he exercises. I told him to kick the exercising up a notch and stay strictly on fruits and vegetables and lean protein.
Yeah, there you go. You could even build a case that, because study after study demonstrates that if you don't want to have a stroke, eating salmon twice a week is like a drastic reduction in the occurrence of a stroke. So you get those fatty ocean fish, it's good for you.
Yes, I've mentioned that.
And plus, he's got nothing better to do than to push out in his kayak, made of seal lining, of course, into the Arctic Ocean, and surely he can catch all the salmon and the halibut he wants.
Yes, he could. If he would.
Wait, you got to make sure you get a fishing license.
Exactly.
Because when you're out there on the frozen tundra, the game warden could show up any time.
Dr. Morgan, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I hope all these things help your son a whole lot. Tell him I'm rooting for him.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, there is a phone line again open, and you're listening to Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan, and the phone number here is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program this Saturday.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
Two questions.
Yes, sir.
On castor oil, I have black castor oil.
What does that mean?
That's what I'm asking. It's I purchased it wanting castor oil, and I know it's castor oil, but it's black castor oil.
Now, when we had castor bean plants or bushes growing in our garden, those bean pods are kind of like a dark brown-black color.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's what that means. But when you pour it, does it look black?
No. No,
it looks like it's kind of like a clear straw color, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good.
I purchased it here in Tyler, but it's probably at Natural Grocers. So
yeah, it's you're good. You're good to go.
Okay. It's Heritage.
That's the brand name.
Right.
You know where almost all of it comes from. The country called India.
Yeah. Okay.
I have read that probably 90% of all the castor oil production in the world comes from India.
Okay. Well, that I've had this, of course. You know, you touch castor oil and a separate jar.
Yeah.
Because it's so sticky.
Well, it is a very unusual oil, isn't it?
Right. But anyway, I've used it and put it on my skin. That's what I was wondering.
Mm-hmm.
I had another question about. Now I've forgotten what it was.
Well, let me just say this while you're trying to like jog your memory.
Right.
You always want to remember that any place that you rub or apply castor oil, you increase circulation greatly to that area. So let's just say somebody had a very weird, unusual toenail, and the toenail's looking like it's And see, one of the signs that you're not getting enough lymphatic circulation to the toes is the toenails begin to yellow.
Right.
And so that would be one indication that you've got sluggish lymphatic circulation. So right. Applying castor oil might help turn it back to its normal color.
Right. Well, that's, yeah, and I've seen people with yellow toenails, and I wondered what their problem was.
But just not a good blood flow as they should have.
One other quick question.
Yes, sir.
Salmon. Fresh salmon at the meat counter and our canned salmon, wild caught, is, and I eat quite a bit of canned salmon.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Wild caught.
I think that's a very good choice that you're making. Excellent.
Okay. I guess the preferred would be the fresh, but...
No, the preferred would be you and I at the mouth of the Columbia River right now fishing for them. That would be the preferred.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know whether eating the canned salmon wild caught was beneficial or probably not as beneficial, maybe.
Now, let me ask you a personal question. Would you have any problem if grizzly bears started moving in on our fishing territory? Would that be a problem?
Well, if I wasn't around them.
Oh, as long as you're not there in their vicinity immediately,
that's
huh?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? The reason I'm saying that, I shouldn't be making a joke about that. You realize how terrifying that would be for you and I to be fly fishing for salmon, and all of a sudden we turn around, there's two grizzly bears within a few feet of us. they can have my fishing pole and the fish.
Well, that's the same here.
Wait a second. How fast can you run?
Well, not very fast.
Oh, rats.
Well, I didn't know whether eating the canned salmon was just throwing money down the...
Oh, no, sir, no. You're not throwing money down the drain. And what okay, in reality, every time that I want to eat salmon, I can't go and catch it myself. Maybe I'm lazy for not driving to Alaska right now and doing it.
Right.
But no, you're doing the best you can with what you've got, so you're choosing what's called wild caught. That means it wasn't raised in a pen and fed.
Right.
You know, a lot of those salmon they raise in these pens in the ocean, they have to give them lots of colorings and dyes to turn their meat kind of that salmon color.
Right.
So wild caught, I think you're trying to make a good condition. I mean, you're making a good decision on that.
Well, I guess as long as you can believe what you read on the can, well, that would be okay.
Yeah, and you know what? I get where you're coming from because, you know, when there's money involved, they may say, hey, who's going to know? It's in the can.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate you. And
You're very welcome. I enjoyed the phone call, and I wish you the very best. Hope you have a great day.
Well, you too. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, buddy. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Okay, there's plenty of time for another phone call, 903-586-5257. Well, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I was wondering if you can give me recommendations on how to reduce or eliminate hot flashes.
Okay. Let me just tell you from my experience, there's several things you can try very easily. Number one, there is a gland at the base of the brain that's attached to your pituitary. It's called the hypothalamus gland. If the hypothalamus, for whatever reason, starts functioning in a suboptimal way or it becomes sluggish, the net result is you can have just horrible hot flashes. So one of the supplements that I'll try, especially when I examine a person they test for it, it's called Hypothalamus PMG. And it's an animal product, but it contains what are called protomorphogen glandulars. And that is worth a try when it comes to hot flashes.
Okay.
Okay, the other one that you can look at, there's an herb called black cohosh. You got nothing to lose by trying those two items to see if it helps you get a lot better.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know what? What would it be like if men had hot flashes? That'd be horrible. No, but there is, seriously, there is a significant surge or imbalance of female hormones, and that's why that happens. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm calling about my problem with arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
The factor has gone from 28 to 37 in just a few months.
What are you talking about? Your sedimentation rate or C-reactive protein or another one?
The rheumatoid factor. It says rheumatoid factor is higher at 37.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you a story from the other day?
Sure.
I had a woman that came to see me, and she has quite horrific rheumatoid arthritis. And I don't think I have to explain to you what it means when your immune system attacks your joints. It's horrible. And so she had like 1 foot and ankle that was super swollen. Looks like somebody blew it up, but she was willing to try what's called a carnivore diet. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
Well, all she did, it was just a simple 3-day trial because she was trying to see if there was any way that her body could function better and the pain would start to go away. And it worked for her. But a carnivore diet is basically where all you're doing for 3 days is just eating meat. And so just like the gentleman that called 2 calls ago, he was talking about salmon. One of the ways you could do this is you could cook salmon. You could squeeze lemon juice on top of it. You could salt it, pepper it, whatever you want, but that would be the totality of your meal. You wouldn't eat bread, which I'm just telling you from my experience. Out of the thousands of cases I've seen of rheumatoid arthritis over the years, they always have a food allergy, whether that be a dairy product of some kind or they're allergic to corn, but usually it's wheat.
Well, I've been eating gluten-free for about a year now.
Well, would you be willing to try a carnivore-style diet for 3 days to see if it helps you at the end of 3 days? Or, I'll tell you the truth about this, if you don't eat any food for the next 3 days and just drink water and herbal tea, you're going to tell me that your pain is a whole lot better and the arthritis is starting to go away. So fasting is one of the ways that you completely reset the immune system and you clean out all this debris that's in your joints. So if you don't eat food, your body's going to say, well, evidently she's not going to feed us today. We better start eating all the debris that's in the joints. What do you think about that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I think you'll tell me if you start fasting today and, well, actually, I don't know. Maybe you should wait till Monday. That way you can go to church and be awake. Not have your blood sugar crash on you.
Okay, no food for 3 days.
Yeah, and I know what you're going to tell me, but just make sure you really stay well hydrated. Fall in love with herbal teas that have some flavor and just drink those as you would water. It'll really be a great help to you. But fasting for 3 days, you're going to make some major, major progress.
Now, the medicine I'm taking is hydroxychloroquine.
Yes, ma'am. Same as Plaquenil. Mm-hmm.
And Arava.
Well, give the fasting or the carnivore diet a try and tell me if you're not a whole lot better.
Okay, leave off the drugs?
Well, I can't say that, no. But if you'll do those two things I just talked about, carnivore and fasting, I think you'll have a major breakthrough and it'll be very impressive to you.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. I want God to bless you, too.
Yeah.
I love the idea that I want you feeling good. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but thank you so much for your phone call today.
Oh, what about iron?
Well, I'm out of time. I've got like three seconds left. Could you call me next week?
Okay.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye.